When you reach the top, where do you go? For me, the future. To become timeless. Become forever. Roll with me. Tyson 2.0. Future roller. The future of rolling.
You wanna know the real deal? Here it is. You tuned in to Bees, Beats and the Beers.
All right, back once again, live from 261 Smith Street, Fitzroy. This is the Beers, Beats and the Beers podcast. And actually, more to the point, it is Beers, Beats and the Big Bad Bracer. My man, Bracer.
Thanks for having me.
Dude, it is fantastic. We've actually, you know, we're having a few, my apologies, brother. We've had a few technical issues this morning, as you've seen. And, you know, that's what it is when you're fucking traveling and recording portably. Mm-hmm. Fucking ash on that one, brother. Mm-hmm. But, you know, dude, we're just catching up again after all these fucking years, Bracer. It has been a while, man. We'll get into our history together and shit like that. Like, you know, Brace is a friend of mine from a decade ago now.
2004.
Yeah. Came up and stayed in Brisbane. But I remember when you came up to Brisbane and we were just fucking discussing it then. We went to the same primary school down here.
True.
St. Anthony's in Noble
Small
Park.
World.
Isn't it, bro?
Small world. I can't believe that.
You're a number of years ahead of me.
Yeah, you're probably in the same year as my youngest sister, Rebecca. She's 42 now.
Probably
the same year.
Yeah, man. Ask her if she knew Nicole Brecken, my prep girlfriend.
Wow.
Dude, I still remember the fucking name, bro.
She probably does. Oh, yeah. I'm joking. Like, anyway, I'll ask her because she, I seen her yesterday. She took me out for my birthday.
Oh, bro. And here it is. Live on Beers, Beats and the Beers. Happy 50th, Bracer.
Oh, 50.
It has been a long time, hasn't it? Like, how old were you? I think you were 38 when you were in Brisbane with us.
I was 38.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have been
younger.
36, yeah.
Oh, okay,
Because I came back from Queensland to Melbourne and I got locked up straight away. And I think it was the second last time I went in. So I was in my 30s. So
yeah.
I haven't been back for 12 years or something now. So
yeah.
Around 38 was the last time.
Fucking crazy, eh? So crazy, bro.
In my early 30s.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. And I haven't seen you since, and all the times we've come to Melbourne, like, you know, I remember we spoke on a couple of New Year's. I spoke to you one New Year's, and then there was a couple of text messages in between. But, you know, social media, IG, we got back up and fucking started conversing again.
Yeah.
And then once I had Shaz on, so this is what we should establish, Bracer, FMC, 3174, Noble Park, KS. Say was early in Obese Records. You used to be in Obese Records, you know, when Shaz was running the shop, and then Pegs also.
You know,
you were
great guys, man.
You've been around this culture for a long time. I know Reason spoke, you know, I first met you through remember you riding down fucking what was it, Chapel Street on Reason's push bike in 2002. And I remember Oath telling me, Oath goes, oh man, like that's a heavy dude, you know. Brace is a heavy dude.
Remember he lived in that little flat
on that's where I stayed.
And he'd have parties and he'd be walking down the hallway like, dude. It was funny times.
So, you know, just establishing your identity and exactly why you're here, Bracer, you know, because, and, you know, beyond anything else, you're here because you're a friend, dude. And I've been talking about doing this since the 100th episode. So it's taken us roughly 40 episodes to get to this, mate, you know, and some time in between because I took some time off and, you know, was tending to my own affairs and shit. But, you know, going back to that shit, dude, isn't it a small world, brother? St. Anthony's in Noble Park, you
can't
know.
Believe it.
Like, when my folks moved us from Brisbane down here, that's where they sent me to the first school. I was there from, I think I was there till grade two.
You're a Melbourne boy originally.
Nah, Brisbane. Born in Brisbane. Like, born in fucking down in Logan. Like,
they must have brought you here.
Yeah, because the old man's Italian, and even my mum, all, like, you know, my mum's side of the family, you know, my fucking cousin Fetz and all them. I always see him commenting on your social media and shit, you know, CI and all that.
That's your cousin.
Identical twin brothers, bro. They're my cousins. So, you know, when we moved down here, I used to always fucking hang out at their house. I'm obviously 10, however many years younger than them, Brett and Adam. And I looked the fuck up to them like crazy. And those cunts were getting locked up and all kinds of shit. But I'm there in their living room. My Auntie Catherine's, you know, Auntie Catherine and Uncle Bob. in fucking Aspendale, yeah. I think. And I'd be sitting in the lounge room just fucking dubbing, because there's five brothers,
yeah.
You know, Brett and Adam were the identical twins. And you are an identical twin, aren't you?
I'm not identical, but I'm a twin, yeah.
You're a twin, yeah.
I'm the youngest of the twins.
So that's partly my history here. I've had a few people hit me up on here. I've gotten a few messages because they go, oh, man, fucking... Are you know, such and such your cousin? I'm like, oh, yeah, bro, that's who I was alluding to, essentially. I don't know how well now, you know.
It was vague to me, and now you say it's like, oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's so funny.
But we moved down here for a number of years, and then, you know, I mean, I used to love my cousins. I looked up to them. I think my mum got scared and moved us back to Brisbane because she thought I'd wind up like them.
They're hectic.
Yeah, they're hectic dudes. Yeah, I know. Well, five brothers.
Still are. Every time I see these social media, he's letting off fireworks.
Bombing a train.
he's got half his arm cut off.
I know, eh? I know, bro. Shouts to my cousin Adam. Man, he taught me how to do kickflips in the backyard on the skateboard, and I used to dub they had everything. That's the first place I saw Hype magazine.
All City.
Oh, fucking dude.
It was AC.
Yeah.
He went hard. He's still bombing strange.
Yeah, still out there and out and about. But bro, we're here to talk you, mate. We're here to talk your history, brother. And I suppose fucking going back to those primary school days, you know, like growing up in Noble Park, bro. Tell me about it.
There, I guess, the captain of our school was Inna from DSA FMC.
Wow. Well, yeah. So, yeah.
And some other guys from HTG and DSA all went there as well. Like a heap of us went there. So, and the Pinnies were just, I don't know if you remember St. Anthony's had half a school right next to the Pinballs on Buckley Street. And then they had the other half of school was up where that church and stuff is, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fuck, it's a vague memory to me,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. You probably weren't there then.
Yeah.
Probably just that was the one school, but it used to be half and half, and the Pinnies were across the road from the other primary school. So I first went there with Inna, and the Noble Park Pinnies.
That was a thing, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, scary place.
Yeah. I remember that's what I used to hear about Noble Park Pinnies. Definitely. Yeah. But growing up in that sort of environment.
Growing up in that environment. And then I grew up in Springvale. We moved to Springy. And, that was full on too, man.
Just
went from a Greek-owned area to just an Asian, complete Asian. And then the heroin came in, man. And really...
Springvale's the first time I'd ever seen.
It took over everything, man.
Yeah. But even the fucking signs, were written in Asian and shit down there. Like, you know, I remember as a kid going to Springvale and just being like, what the fuck? Yeah, like, that's true, bizarre.
It's
you know? Insane. That's how heavy it is in there, you know? Like, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah,
even Sunnybank in Brisbane. I mean, you remember Sunnybank. Even Sunnybank's not even.
Sunnybank was Asian.
Sunnybank's Asian as fuck.
The house we were in was Asian. She owned, half the court. Remember?
Yeah, yeah, fucking ain't it.
I remember it. It was a bitch.
Yeah, yeah. But so, you know, you establish yourself early in that area, or, you know, Noble Park, Springvale,
I started off, I guess, my riding. I was always interested in Grafton. I remember in Beach Street and all that came out, you know.
Yeah.
Who didn't love that? I was fascinated by it all. And
can I have a drag on it?
Tried to do braking, but I wasn't very good.
Couldn't get it?
Yeah, even... Graffiti. I remember doing Ramo pieces and that when I was young. I think you're going to have to use that one to light that one.
Oh, these lighters all fucked.
You're going to have to light that one to light that one.
Yeah, I see you.
There you go. And,
Beat Street and shit.
Yeah, so, I mean, from then on, I guess I had an interest in graffiti and, My parents sent me to a private school, and I guess that criminal life intrigued me because I hadn't been shown any of it. I was kept well away from it all. So I guess it fascinated. I don't know why. It's a bit stupid, but it did. And
as a kid, but dude, easily impressionable. Like, you know, and are we talking like colours? That era?
Definitely. Even before colours. Yeah. The colours was when, like, 374 were wearing blue bandanas after it. And we were going to war with another Albanian crew in Dandenong.
Wow.
MC3 and
MC3,
we had some full on fights, man, over years. I remember getting, I got my head beaten in by
But it was full. Yeah, you cunts had big blues, eh?
Some big
start as a one on one and then just turn into fucking hundreds of cunts, or
I remember this one day, I was at the Pinnies at Dandenong and this Blade, his name was, from MC3. He was starting a fight with me and this guy Julius, and Jez armed from across the road, seeing he comes across the road, boom, he belts the Blade there. Anyway, that night we're standing out the front of the Pinnies, he comes flying around with a samurai sword.
Jesus.
Like, yeah, and he chops me, mate, in the arm. Yeah, and
it went
into the Pinnies. A couple of more of them come, and it went into the Pinnies, pool balls and cues and stuff. Anyway, that night he went home on acid and was playing Russian roulette and blew his head off.
You're fucking kidding.
Next day, MC3 were out looking for us everywhere, man.
You know, Jesus.
10, 15 carloads driving around looking for any of us.
Fucking hell.
Fuck us up.
Did anyone get golfed over that?
But they were mainly looking for guys in Endeavour Hills, like the Hills Posse and HCG, Hilltop Gangsters.
Yeah.
And
so he's adopted, like, there was a fucking, the violence.
There was like five crews under the umbrella, the 374 umbrella, you know what I mean?
So,
when we're all together, it was full on.
So yeah.
When they were all together, MC3, it was full on. I remember being at the Capitol Center once, and we were all sitting in a booth. They were all sitting in another booth, and I didn't even know them. But the guys I was with did.
Yeah.
And they're just eyeing each other off, and before too long, it was on. It was on, and I didn't know.
Feel the tension.
They kicked us out of the Capitol Center, so they said get out of Dandenong. So we start walking to the station, and they jumped us again, like about 30 of them, man.
Jesus.
Like kick shit at us.
Yeah. Gangs are heavy down here in that era, eh? I mean, around the country, but like Melbourne certainly had their
man. That night I went back to the shotgun, was doing drive-bys. It was pretty full on.
It's funny because the graph scene was closely linked to a lot of it, wasn't it? As creative as the graph scene was in Melbourne,
Yeah, and that's why I think I wanted to get FMC up again because we were becoming a criminal group. Jail and all that sort of stuff. I really wanted this known for our art again because...
Yeah.
From the 80s, FMC was, a really fucking awesome crew.
Dude, one of the pivotal Melbourne crews. Yeah, I mean,
oldest crews in Melbourne.
Exactly. Go back to the establishment of FMC. I mean, you weren't personally a part of that first gen, were you?
Second gen.
Yeah. But where's it start? 86?
Ooh, I'd say, around 85
even?
Even might even be before then, man. Yeah. 84.
Yeah.
Ash, Esky.
Yeah.
Hayes, all them guys, man.
Yeah, I remember when you came to Brisbane and you did that R.I.P. Ash piece.
Yeah, passed away, sadly.
Yeah.
But, another one to heroin, man, that we lost.
Yeah. A lot of it, man. A lot of it around through that era, too.
Yeah, mate, we lost a chunk of people.
Yeah. But go back to the start of FMC, you know, like fucking just the dawn of the crew. The
You had Hayes, Dyer, Beware.
Yeah.
I mean, Esky, Pack. You had Melbourne's best riders.
And, bro.
I wanted, through the 90s, it changed a lot, FMC. So, and it was starting to become like anyone was putting it up. I'd see, like, who? FMC? What?
Yeah.
I don't know that person. There was only a number of us, but.
Yeah.
It started becoming one of those crews, and I was like, no, I can't have this. I really wanted us to be known again for
the art.
The art, and not the bullshit, not the crime, not the drugs, not the violence, not any of that stuff. From 2018 up until this year, where FMC broke up, unfortunately. But, you know, the truth will come out eventually, or we'll find out who did.
It's
sad, man. The crew was going super sick. Like we were we were shining. Yeah. And I was happy with the roster we had. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
They were, I couldn't keep up with the graph that they were doing.
Yeah,
dude. It was insane.
Yeah. The level of activity and shit like that.
It was. And we're doing a lot of walls and, but yeah. Anyway.
And staying established and staying sort of involved and fucking, you know, at the helm of a lot of productions and shit too. You know?
Yeah. But getting back to FMC, when I first started, I remember being at the Pennies in Dandy, and I remember Croc Cancer in Action were over next to like playing Pennies, and I could overhear them. They were talking about racking a Walkman and selling it for some weed to the guys playing Pennies.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. And they went down there and they couldn't do it, right? Well, I went down there and I'd never even pinched before, but I got a couple of them. Right?
Yeah.
So I went back there and they seen that I'd done the deal and they hated me. Fucking hated me, man. That's how I first met them guys.
Yeah.
Fucking hated me. They despised me.
But, how much younger were you?
I was like 16.
Yeah, is that 16, right? Man. What were they?
Around the same age.
Oh, okay. So these are all about the same age.
Same age. But they were all more established in graffiti than me. They've probably been, you know, probably a year or so.
Yeah.
But Croc was in FMC and the other two were in KSA, and FMC, KSA were closely combined.
Yeah, exactly. Then, yeah. I used to hear that too.
Actually,
it was you that used to fill me in on a lot of that FMC shit early. I remember when you came to Brizzy, you know, you'd tell me a bit about it and stuff like that. And I was like, fucking word, you know? And then I remember hearing he's like, you know, became heavy in the jail system through the 90s and shit like that. Like, definitely fucking deep in that system. I mean, you yourself, you know. But the dawn of the crew, bro, like, it is rooted in graffiti mostly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I hope it is, man. I hope we are remembered for that because.
Yeah, but you can't sort of escape the fact that you guys are well established in the prison system. Also, it's part of the crew's mystique in some way. Also,
for sure, you know? I mean, not so much anymore, thank God. But definitely 90s and early 2000s. But you know, when I started with the crew in 89, 90, Dyer, Esky, all them guys had sort of. Got jobs, had kids, and we're like, okay, and the crew was becoming really fucked up.
Yeah.
So they all took a back seat, and we took off. But even the guys I was with, I remember going to parties, and we'd rock up, and I'd see people's faces just go.
They knew what was about to happen.
Yeah.
Or what was inevitably going to happen.
I wasn't like that. I don't like. people getting hurt or
anything. No. But you're of a different age and a different breed and a different era, man. You know, like things work, you know. It's not to say that things are different today. I don't know. We're not fucking 16 anymore. It's just things are different for us.
They're all different, man. That's why I think I don't associate with many people
No safe spaces at a party FMC showed up at in fucking 1992, bro. No place to go hide at that one. But how, you know, you through the 90s, bro, so I mean, you yourself did a bit of time or whatever, but how entrenched in graffiti and shit were you?
I was more of a bomber. I actually was intimidated by it, like, because there were so many good riders back then. You know, Tane, New, all them DMA guys, Puzzle.
I've had enough of that fucking.
I was like riding when all them guys were doing that stuff. I was intimidated, man. Yeah. I didn't think my stuff was like, I couldn't even compare. Yeah. So like I was a mad train bomber at one stage, you know. But I ended up getting hooked on heroin.
Yep.
On and off, and prison came with that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it was like a merry-go-round, man, until I was able to break it like 13 years ago now.
Yep. Oh, at a point through that period, you became a positive force within Obese Records. You were in there early. 100%. You know, how do you sort of get into that role, like, you know, moving into the, you know, I mean, for those listening, Bracer was, you know, you were there with fucking Shaz and Brad and, you know, everyone in the real early days, even through Pegs, you know.
Some of the most, honestly, some of the the most awesome guys I've ever met, man.
Yeah.
And when I got out, I heard while I was in that some of the guys are doing some shit at Obese.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, oh, fuck, man, why, you know? And I came out and I remember I was with my dad and my dad stayed out front. I went inside to say hello to Shazzy and he sort of stood back from the counter like I was going to do something. I'm like, no, bro, I'm here. Look, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I ended up living on Chapel Street. So I ended up coming down there and I got my crew together and I said, look, no more.
Yeah.
You're not like, yeah, no more.
Yeah.
And I became really close with Shaz, man. Yeah. And that guy showed me a different world to what I had experienced in Dandenong, down the southeast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he, the most generous man, the most giving person I've ever met. Like I had never experienced anything like that. No one had been like that to me. You know, I'd only seen shit, just shit on top of shit. It was a really good time in my life.
Being there for the music even, you know, like, you know, some of the music that was coming through that shop and the experiences.
Man, it was all new because I remember Culture of Kings started and I was lucky enough to be there. And like I was doing the barbecue upstairs, you know what I mean? And that was the start of it all to me. You know, the first Culture of Kings. It was like everyone come there from all over Australia for the first time, you know.
Yeah,
everyone.
Bro. Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah.
So good. It was like the start of Aussie hip hop. Even though Aussie hip hop had existed, it was really like when it started.
Oh, dude, that is the dawn of it right there, pretty much. The dawn of it breaking, the dawn of the business of it, the dawn of fucking everything, you know? So, yeah. And Obese were at the fucking.
I feel like I owe them like so much debt because they gave me that experience in life that not many people get to experience, you know what I mean? No. I went to so many shows and so they're like, who's this guy? Is he a rapper? Is he a producer? Is he it's just a mate, you know what I mean?
No
one, I'm nobody.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So but I got to experience everything. I got to meet all you guys. I got to come up and, you know what I mean?
I went
to every state and every state I had some awesome hip hop artists that would look after you, so special.
Fucking
like, From Hilltop Hoods to.
It was a small community,
DJ Bones, to all them guys, to Hijack Torture.
Yeah.
All them guys, man. It was the best experience I've ever had, man.
Yeah, dude.
Like,
yeah.
Now I went to Sydney with Brad and Jay Red, and it was just so good. I got to meet all these American. People that are idolized.
Tell about the time D12 came to the shop. In D12 or something?
D12 came down, man. I wasn't there, but.
Weren't you there? I remember hearing the story. I thought you were there. Yeah, I thought it was you that I heard the story off. I can't remember.
I would have told you the story, but I didn't get the photos and nothing.
But they took all the fucking Aussie hip hop
and all those guys come down. Yeah,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Proof Bazaar, whatever.
When. Eminem came down, but a lot of people, Obese was the place to go, you know, when Central Records shut down, and Obese was the place to go. So, I mean, a lot of artists from all over the place came there.
Yeah.
Just to visit, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, dude, we'd get to Melbourne and we'd catch a cab to Obese, you know, or get the bus into town and catch a cab to Obese or the train.
Yeah, cool. We'd be across the road.
Cool, the train. Yeah, bro. You'd just be fucking standing out the front. You'd hang there all day, just out the front of the shop. You walk to and from that Dan Murphy's. Mm. Yeah. What were 3174, like just going back to that 3174 thing, was that like, you know, beyond it being a collective of the kids from the neighbourhood or whatever, was it about Noble Park or was it more about just protecting like what was the fucking early ethos of the whole 3174 thing and so many crews coming in under that banner?
It's a little bit hard that one because there's FMC, there's KSA and DSA, and then there's JFK and there's HGG and there's Hills Posse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's all them crews. But Hills Posse and HGG were more more gangster sort of shit related.
Yeah.
And they didn't really do much graph on that. But DSA were all breakers, hip hop. They did everything back then, from, you know, graph panels a lot. And then FMC KSA were graph crews.
Yeah.
And JFK Stir with Mist. It was huge back in the day. But it was just the collective of guys, I guess, that were. A lot of us experienced stuff with our parents and I guess whatever it may be, people weren't coping back then and would feel that that's sort of a family environment that it was, you know what I mean? You'd go there and it would be hugs. You feel like you belong there, you know what I mean? And some people, I guess, you... Back then, in a young mind, you weren't getting that from your family.
Exactly.
So, you feel like you're getting it from them, but it's not your family, it's everything.
And you learn 100%.
That in time.
You do, you learn it. Yeah, you work it out. Yeah, fucking A. Absolutely. Yep. See, I was too young, and I was there briefly, but...
I was naive, too.
As a kid. But every kid is, man. That's being a kid.
I wish I had some sort of brains.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've wasted a lot of time or, because, you're sort of back out there, man. You're, firmly establishing yourself again, doing a lot of positive things now. Clean.
I had many times where I'd be 2 years clean.
Yeah.
And it would hit me. Something would happen and... boom. I would be up and up and up. I climbed so many stairs to get that mountain and that one just straight down the bottom. So I had a few times where I'd have a couple of years up and I did many things during that time, but then I would get in trouble. Just running and...
Yeah, bro. How much do you want to go into in regards to you coming to Brisbane? Talk about your time,
man.
What brought you to Brisbane?
What brought me there? I had I was living in one of Shaz's dad's apartments. The people that I was around back then, I'm not going to say who they
No, of course not.
Very heavy people, and excuse me. Long story short, I got my door kicked in. I got woken up to a 12-gun shotgun blast in my head. Just missed me. And then dragged out and then put on my knees and I thought I was going to die. And then instead with the butt, right, and left there. And
Jesus.
It was in 2003, so it was during the Terence Hodgson and it was a lot going on there. And it was, anyway, I'm not even going to go into it, but it was like in that sort of area, but the police, I remember being stretchered out and they're cutting my jumper off me. I had a tribal jumper on. I'm like, no.
Don't. No. Cut me fucking jumper.
But I could see suits everywhere. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But I can't remember much. I just remember waking up in a pool of blood and bouncing off walls and thinking, fuck, I'm going to die. And someone must have rang someone because I just passed out and then remember being stretched out and then the police and blah, blah, blah. It was all, they were heavy police, man. They were assholes, man.
But really?
I wouldn't cooperate at all.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, all right, smart ass. No worries, mate. I was in that hospital 9 days. They got me thrown out. I couldn't move my head like this. 1 millimeter that way, that way.
Jesus.
I had a fractured skull here. I had bleeding on the brain. I was in on the glow facial fractures as well, right?
Fuck.
And so 9 days, so these piranha squad or whoever they were, they'd gone and spoken to the staff at the hospital and get him out. And, you know, because I just said, when they keep coming in, what happened, Mark?
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I wouldn't have a clue. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. So that's when I come up to you guys. I thought I've got to get out of Melbourne for a little bit, you know. And I rang you guys up and I said, can I come up there? And I don't think I told you the whole story yet, but
I
came up there and started living at your joint.
But how long were you down here post that, like just healing? Because you came up, you were pretty well healed by then.
Yeah, I was. I stayed probably about a year, maybe.
Yeah. Because it must have taken a minute to fucking because I know when you came up to Brisbane, you were pretty fit. You were fucking back living, you know, in a way, you know. Yeah.
Trying.
Yeah. I remember earlier you were saying, you know, you had the fucking, like, you'd always get the headaches and shit, you know, from it.
Yes.
Remember the first day you came in and Oath used to have that poster, the chopper, the Eric Banner movie, the chopper poster above the turntables, and you came in and you're like, why is that fucking dog on the wall? It was like, I don't know, it was a good movie, I don't know.
I met him a couple times. It was a good movie.
But I remember you were just, you had that hard head mentality at that time. Like, that jail mentality, man. You're like, that can't fuck. Why is he on the fucking wall?
Back then, I mean, he has a horrible name in the system. He did a lot of favors for the Screws and stuff. So he wasn't well liked. That was the jail mentality. I'm so glad I'm out of it.
Yeah,
honestly,
dude.
It's taken me years.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Even when I came back from you guys, I was there for a year with you guys, as you know. And that was an awesome experience. Logan. Was
So you stayed with us for what?
Woodridge?
Maybe three.
Woodridge?
Yeah, bro. You stayed with us for maybe 3-4 months and then went to Woodridge. And what, down where were you? Station Road or something like that?
I was right close to the station.
Yeah, but down fucking towards like the Logan Diggers and all that. Like, and what, fucking 15 years ago? It was fucking rugged as shit, bro.
I remember moving there and I'd see kids on the train with their jumpers and they'd have like a bottle in there.
Yeah. Like, fucking breathing,
and
exactly.
And they'd have like chrome around it and I'd be like, what? And it was everywhere up there.
Dude, for real. Yeah.
But Queensland was cool, man. Yeah. I've gotten a bit of trouble up there, as you know.
As you know. There was some funny fucking times, dude.
Oh, my God.
Man, you kept us in booze for fuck knows how long. Remember all those fucking...
I would bring bottles. Big bottles.
You were boosting those bottles like motherfucker. Like a motherfucker. $30. Fucking boost.
Big liters.
Yeah, dude. Liter bottles of everything. And then you were ditching, weren't you ditching it all in the fucking, there was like a paddock behind fucking Neath Street up there or something like that? Or like it was a bush or some shit?
Oh, I can't remember.
I remember you telling me, you just said, I'll go get more. I've got them fucking up there. Because you didn't want to keep them at our place just in case.
It was so messy up there, bro.
Are you in Brisbane and looking for Brisbane's largest range of premium aerosols? Crush City was established in 2010 to provide a great retail space and the best quality materials and equipment for every occasion, with heavy stocks of Montana cans, Bez, Loop and Molotow. To find out more, including opening times and deliveries, get at the team at crushcity.com.au or get at the team via Crush City Fame on Instagram, or head into the shop at 423 Ipswich Road, Annerley. Crush City are proud sponsors of Beers, Beats and the Biz. 420 Superstore are one of Australia's largest providers of 420 cultural giftwares and paraphernalia. Their product range includes a wide variety of items, from dried herb aromatherapy devices, rolling and cutting supplies, herbal extraction devices, hydroponic grow equipment, to candy, kava, and clothing. Open at their brick and mortar location at the Hooper Centre, Toowoomba, Queensland, and online at 420superstore.com.au. From seed to satisfied, 420 Superstore has everything you need. Visit 420superstore.com.au today. 420 Superstore are official sponsors of Beers, Beats and the Biz. Support businesses supporting us. What happened with the bikies that time? Bracer and the bikies. That's a fucking whole nother episode.
Wow. I don't want to incriminate myself or whatever, but something happened and they thought it was me. And little did I know, they'd been driving around the neighbourhood for 3 days.
Yeah.
And little did I know, I ride my bike out of this laneway and I ride past and they drive past me. They see me. Yeah. They do a U-turn. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
They drive down and they run me over.
Fuck.
They hit me. The car hit me. I fly off the bike. bike, he jumps out the car and we start punching on him, and they just I'm like, what the fuck? I'm fighting this guy, this big fat man, his beard and shit. While I'm doing that, his mate who's driving runs over and he grabs me wallet out of my back pocket, and they both run off to the car.
What?
And jump in the car and drive off. Yeah. And I'm left there with my, I've just been run over. I've got gravel rash. And I've got other cars, like, have just stopped and said, are you all right? Do you want us to be your witness? I'm like, nah, I'm all good. I get on my bike, my wheels, like bent. That's like, my handlebars are
all fucked up. Yeah.
And I'm like, what just happened? Like, oh, my God. Anyways, I walked up to this bloody factory area.
Yeah.
And little did I know, I walked past them. I walked down this dead-end street. They were all standing out there in front of their mechanics. Shop.
Yeah.
There's like a few of them, and they see me walk down the next street to them. I didn't know that was them. They jump in this ute again, and then this time there was four of them in the back, right? And they cornered me down this back end of this street.
Yeah.
They've got poles, they've got bats, they've got chains, and I'm like, I'm just backing up going, mate.
Fucking hell.
Fuck yeah. And anyway, they got me.
Yeah.
And this time they grabbed my bag, and I had a laptop bag and shit, and they grabbed that, and they grabbed my bike, and they threw it in the ute.
Yeah.
I remember running after the ute, and I grabbed onto the back.
Yeah.
And this guy grabs a hammer, and he broke all my fingers. So after this, I walk back up, and I see them all out the front of this mechanics, right?
Yeah.
And I go to walk in. Every time I walk in, went to walk in, they went to smash me.
Yeah.
So now they've got my wallet, they've got my got everything. And you guys live there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I can't have this.
Yeah.
These poor guys have done nothing. These mother effers are going to run through this joint, right? So I stood there, and I there was carloads of them rocking up, bro. And I'm sitting down at the front, and they're massive dudes, like steroids, covered in tats, walking past me, looking at me, can you rub that wrong, can't you, fucking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm like, da 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 da. In the end, right, I waited that long. I'm covered in blood, man.
Yeah, bro.
I'm covered. My shirt's all ripped. My shorts all ripped. And anyway, they ring the police. I'm like, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No worries. Thank you.
Yeah.
And they rang the police. So in the end, the police asked me if I wanted to charge them. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
But I got a job at TNT, and I used to have to walk past there.
Yeah.
Little did I know they had their clubhouse was across the road from the mechanics.
Yeah, okay.
So I would walk past that. And I remember walking up, I was working for TNT. And they would sneak up behind me, and they would fucking scare the shit out of me.
No shit.
Oh, yeah. Get out of here, you fucking
tormenting you, bro. When you wait on work.
I turned around and
I'm
like, fuck.
Yeah. Because one of them showed up at our place, and I can't remember. I can't remember who was there. I remember. I think I was sitting on the couch or something. I was there, but someone else answered the door, and I remember walking down and going, "What's going on?" And it was big fucking bikey cunt. I don't know if he's patched up or nothing, but like mechanic or whatever. And he's like, "Oh mate, your mate robbed the wrong cunt or something like that."
Yeah,
we sort of went to the door, and I remember, I think it might have been Oath or Browning or maybe someone like that. And it was just like, "Oh, I don't know, man." And he just goes, he wasn't rude or anything. Like he was just, he was to the point. And he was just like, "Oh, listen, I'm just gonna go through your bins and but your mate's feeling a bit sorry for himself." And we're like, okay. And I knew immediately, I was like, oh, bracer. I was like, fuck, where are you? And they just fucking took off. One of them was sitting in a ute, and the other one just looked through the bin and fucking took off. And then, you showed up like fucking 3 hours later or something.
I went to the police station.
So the coppers took you?
Yeah.
Fucking
They up. Rang the police on me. I loved it. I was like, thank you. I thought I was going in the boot and going for a drive.
Yeah, dude. In the bush.
Yeah, I thought I was going for a dirt nap, bro. I really did. But I stayed there because of you guys. I thought, like, I can't let you guys run. You guys run through you.
And
I stayed there, and I just kept saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I never robbed you. I don't know what you're talking about. And I stuck like that the whole time, man. And in the end, they said I stole thousands of dollars cash. I stole checks. shit. All yeah. crap, man. They added so much shit on. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Crazy, though, eh?
Crazy.
Some crazy times, bro. The 12 months you spent in Brisbane, like, fucking hell. Man, Bracer hit town like a fucking tsunami.
They ran me over and beat me up and then ring the police on me. I was like, okay, cool.
But the whole crew had cameras and fucking bottles. And
I didn't stop, man. I went up there and it was like a new... Yeah. It was a new spot to rack.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
I went sick racking, man.
It was a new playground.
I would rack every day. Every day. That was my business. That was what I did as a living.
I'd wake up early, you know, like we were always up to go to fucking, you know, go off in town, whatever.
I'd be cleaning your house every day.
Dude, you'd be up at fucking... Oh, man, fuck. You slept on the floor, cunt. Yeah, you slept on the floor beside me. I remember waking up one morning and my bed was like this. And I woke up and I'm like, what the fuck? And you're like, cunt, you wouldn't stop fucking snoring. You kicked my fucking bed all the way around. I'm just going to bed blind drunk, you know, and just fucking snoring. And you poor couple laid on the fucking floor.
Yeah. I've never experienced anything. Yeah. 750 Rebels, I'm like, man, those dudes can drink.
Fucking drink,
and they love their Bundy.
Oh, I can't touch the shit anymore, bro. I reckon that's the reason. I can't stand the smell of it.
And I'll get you that OP stuff.
If I was to drink Bundy now, it'd have to be OP, but fucking I can't, mate. I can't stand the smell of this shit.
It's deadly.
Even these things, even like these premix fucking these JD cans. You don't drink.
I just had to have one to
loosen up and fuck on, it's your 50th too. You have one
and
for 50th.
50 too. Yeah.
And I've been staying off the piss too. Like I've had a couple
I've
of drinks.
Seen you
but
for ages, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Oh man, I'm in Melbourne, I'm gonna have fucking one or two, but yeah. Absolutely. It's probably irresponsible of me because it's not that I haven't been fucking having a few issues with the booze and shit in recent times. You know, like we've all battled our fucking issues, Bracer, in the years following, you know,
absolutely.
You know, all of us being together down,
for sure.
up there, should I say, in Brisbane.
I feel blessed to still be here.
Yeah, 100%.
Man, like a lot of us.
I think it's great that I have you sitting opposite me, like after everything everyone's been through, you know, like it's fucking, you know, here's to you, brother. Here's to you turning 50, man.
Cheers, bro.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
You know? That's fucking half a century, man.
It is half a century.
And regardless of maybe the negative forces that have played a role in that half a century, here's to you for making it, bro. And here's to you for having the mindset and attitude that you do today.
Thank you, man.
That's our past and that's what makes us. And that's what also contributes to the person that you become today, bro. So some of those stories, man, are good for a fucking laugh and a learning experience at this point. You know, you kind of
100%, you know what I mean? There will be people that understand. There will be people that go, an idiot, you know what I mean? But that's cool. I don't mind. Yeah. Whatever. And it was you know, when I was young, I guess it was a thing on your ego when you realise not everyone likes you.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, what it is. But it's great to still be here. And I lost so many friends in the '90s and from ODing and stuff. Even I OD'd twice, died twice. And so I've been shot at, I've been this and that, I've been so close to death many times. And
you've seen the highs and the lows, haven't you?
I have, man.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed, and I only stick to people that are positive people these days. I don't deal with negative anymore.
Yeah.
I can't.
It fucking, dude, it becomes too much of a fucking weight, bro. You don't need that weight in your life anymore, hey, once you reach an age. It's just like, oh, dude, and you can pick it pretty quickly. You know, you pick it pretty fucking quickly. You're just like, oh, man, I don't know. Okay, this is being weeded out very shortly. You know? Like, when that person enters, it's like, oh, no.
Absolutely.
There's no time, you know?
But now, Jake, I don't have to wake up with... I don't have to worry that the door's going to be kicked in by a criminal or the police raiding my house. I don't have that worry anymore. And the anxiety I used to have every morning, I mean, God, I used to go to the toilet three times before I'd get out and go out, you know what I mean?
Just
so anxious and not having court cases, any of that shit for years now. It's just really good. I've changed my ways. And,
it's fucking sick, dude.
I've invested now. I'm unemployed, but I do crypto and I've invested in a couple of marijuana companies.
Yeah.
We'll see how we go.
Yeah, dude. Well, it's a fucking burgeoning thing.
We've got the 420 boys here.
Right. It is a fucking 420 kind of day, I'll tell you.
What is it, man? 27%.
Oh, dude. Like, this is the bizarre fucking thing. Like, this fucking weed shit we were saying earlier, man. Like, man, these cunts can bring all this shit through the fucking airport now. Like, that's what Gav said. Gav's like, man, I want them to fucking check my luggage because he is scripted for all of it and can legally carry it. He's allowed to carry it.
That's theirs.
It's not any other brand.
It's 420. It's their brand.
Yeah, this is this will be on the market soon. I don't know how much that can be said about this at this stage, but yeah.
And Wilfred.
Yeah. You're a fucking bracer, man. Like, I've never seen Bracer so starstruck as you were this morning,
mate. Awesome. I love that guy. Oh my god.
You're a Wilfred man. I'm a massive Wilfred fan.
Yeah. I have been for years. Yeah. And I looked at him when I first seen him. I'm like, oh, I know that guy from somewhere. And then you told me, I'm like, oh my god, that's your bit, oh my god.
Awesome. Big bad Bracer.
Not anymore, man. Changed a lot, man. I hate that sort of that name there, you know.
Well, you were an intimidating presence in your time.
Never wanted to be, though, you know what I mean?
Well, you were always fucking mad friendly too, bro.
I had a short fuse,
but you were a fucking friendly cunt.
Yeah, I guess so. I never seen my side of the short fuse. I guess I know that I do have, and but I never wanted to be that scared or be people intimidated of you. Like, I wanted them to, you know what I mean? I never wanted to. I know a lot of people didn't like me because of that. When they'd meet me, they'd go, oh, yeah.
Well, you're a nice dude.
I thought you were blah, blah, blah. And then
I remember you being fucking real. Like, you know, like I said, you're fucking 8 years older than me, you know? And I, like, you know, when I was fucking, coming down here with Eric and I'm fucking, Jesus, when was that? That was 20 years ago. No, that was 21 years ago. So, man, I'm fucking 20 coming down here and you're fucking near 30. And I remember looking at you just being like, oh, but you were a fucking nice dude. You'd be like, hey, yeah, bro, like winking a fucking, you know, like, and, you know, you were just a fucking knockabout bloke, you could tell, you know, but you could also tell, you know, you were fucking, well, you're kind of like one of us, man, you know,
you were fucking one of us
that I wouldn't fucking want to mess with at any
point. I was down in on Noble through and through, but I was up Chapel Street, you know, trying to be.
You were Chapel Street too, cunt. You were trendy and fashionable
so
at a point.
I was trying to be
for real.
You know, like, Shaz got me a year's membership at his gym, and then I'm in the change rooms, and I'm changing, and I see this thing at it. Premier Melbourne gay and lesbian gym. I was like, what?
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, it was a full on one. Like, Shaz gets me a year's membership. I was wondering why all the guys were looking at me. My chicks were looking at me.
That's fucking hilarious. Times, yeah, bro. Yeah,
you know, I ended up, it was almost like I was the bodyguard there. I'd sit at the shop so nothing would happen there.
Yes.
I mean, so no stupid shit would, or anything like that. So,
Well, that's what I was told. I was told that's, you know, you're in there to just make sure fucking no stupid, because there was a lot of fucking dumb shit.
There's a lot of fuckery going on.
Exactly. Yeah. How did you see the change in that shop, like from Shaz to Pegs? Like, was it a fairly smooth transition, or did you start seeing the sort of divide?
It was horrible.
It was? Yeah.
It was horrible. Yeah. For Shaz, it was. I seen him lose his passion, his life. He couldn't run it from where he was, and had to sell it for whatever. And good on Pegs and Tyrion. He brought it to another level. Like, oh my God.
He came out, man.
The distribution, when he bought the distribution out and he started signing all the major acts in Australia, I remember working in the office, and I would just be doing the CDs from orders, and it would just be Hilltop.
Yeah, because you were there for the start of that, weren't you? Like the dawn of all that shit.
It just went massive.
Yeah.
Tyrion, I've got to give him mad props for doing what he did. Like, you know, he really... He took our base to a different level. It really was. It became a proper business.
Oh, fuck, bro.
But that's when all the shit starts too, you know what I mean? When you're more underground, it's you're friendly with the, you know, the clubs and that in the area, you have shows and stuff, but when you become that bit bigger, all the bigger companies want a piece of you, and so shit changes, you know. He bought I can't remember the record company's name, but he changed it to Zenith.
Yeah, that's right.
That was the vinyl.
Yeah, the fucking record pressing
plant. The vinyl
plant,
pressing plant.
Yeah.
And it was one of the only ones in Australia, you know what I mean? So that was another area of obesity he'd bought out. So he bought out the distribution.
Yeah.
So it was massive. He had every JB Hi-Fi in Australia. He had all the underground shops. It was
he got
massive.
It all, eh?
It was huge.
Yeah, bro.
It was huge.
Yeah.
And I knew that poor Shaz, he started that shit. Like, it was his.
Yeah.
And it was his baby.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel for him, man. That I got so much love for that guy. Yeah. All Obese crew. That,
yeah.
That whole crew.
That
man,
whole crew.
I love all of them.
You type Reason, everyone. Like, you know, yeah.
Even you I met through
Obese. Yeah, yeah, of course. That, you know? Yeah, yeah.
I got mad love for all you guys, all the
750s
I met up there, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking amazing.
From Can to Proof, all them guys, Lazy, all them dudes, man.
Fucking crazy times
great,
when you think about it.
Great bunch of guys.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
honestly,
man. Yeah, yeah.
I had time in my life up in prison.
When did you start seeing, did you see the division? Did you see it, like, at what point? I mean, I know you came to Brisbane. That's when you sort of fucking leave that sort of scene pretty much. Did you go back to it? Like, when you came back to Melbourne?
When I came back, I was in prison pretty quickly.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
So, like, it was, I didn't know whether who would, I knew who did what, whatever, right?
Yeah, but I
would never say anything. I
still,
the guy who's passed away now, I still won't say anything, right?
Yeah.
But he's a heavy hitter.
Yeah, bro.
And I don't know.
There's only so much you can say.
Yeah, like. Yeah. I don't even know what to say about that sort of stuff. It was,
but that, I mean, that stuff aside, was the obese thing still in your, like, you know, were you still a part of it when you came back? I mean, you were only in Brisbane
most
for a year.
Definitely.
You come back.
I went to jail and
like, was there a position for you? Was
100%,
there fucking,
like, every time I would come out, Tyrion was he is unbelievable, man. That guy would give me a job, like, for, if I had parole, I would be able to say I work at Obese, even if I didn't.
Yeah.
Like, he was unreal. He helped me fucking with everything.
Yeah.
But the division was pretty much set then that, you know, people went on different paths,
of course.
Like,
of course.
Shaz went on his path, and Tyrion went on his path, and Obese no longer exists.
Yeah.
So it could have been really huge.
Yeah.
But,
Well, he fucking did it. He got huge, you know.
It was a great time, though.
Right.
20 years.
What a time.
Span, man.
Yeah.
I think I came back from you guys in 2005. I went to prison probably 2006 into 2007, and that was real scary because I didn't know whether this guy was, he was in for a murder.
Mm.
So I didn't know whether he'd been still speaking to the same crew that I was with.
Yeah.
So I didn't know nothing. So I walked into, just didn't know, you know what I mean? So
you've been away, you've been out of the scene.
Well,
for
I'd
a
been
minute.
Up with you guys for a year. So, and this guy was going nuts, you know, down here. So,
precarious position to walk back into, Bracer.
It was real scary, man.
Fucking
but I did it anyway, right?
Yeah.
And I can hold my head high. Like, you know, I've never.
Yeah.
Anyways, I went and go into that. I should hate it.
Yeah.
the guy was murdered this year, and I knew it would happen. But karma, man. Karma's you know. I remember doing, like, I've done counseling all that shit over this guy. But,
Yeah, dude, there's a level of PTSD and all that sort of bullshit that comes along with this fucking lifestyle, bro.
I never thought I'd be happy until he was passed.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I had a big smile on my face that day. I never thought I'd be that type of person, you know what I mean? But I was pretty happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was a bad man.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Fair, though.
That's what I mean. I'm 50 years old. I feel so blessed to be here and I think I made the right decisions. I got out.
Yeah.
you know, I just decided. I didn't really get out. I just said, look, I'm not doing nothing anymore. Yeah. And I stopped the drugs. I stopped all that shit. I know people still think,
well, it serves
this and that, blah, blah, blah. Good on them. They can think whatever. I'm this February, 3 years clean.
Unbelievable, bro.
3 years.
Incredible. Incredible, man. Oh, what an achievement, you know? You know, it stops serving a purpose in your life at a point, man. It becomes a very negative force, you know? Ugh, a destructive force, you know? And when it gets to that, it's just like, oh, man, like, fuck. But it's a shame that it always has to get to that for you to fucking make that change, you know?
To realise, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking... Yeah,
sometimes you have to get
it's the only
to,
way.
To that, that it's the only way. To yeah. rock bottom, you know yeah, what man. I mean, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is your bottom?
Yeah, bro, some where's bottom?
Bottom don't even have a bottom.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it.
I mean, my bottom...
I think everyone has that bottom. It's just from the outside, it would appear that some people have no bottom, but everyone gets to a point where it's just like, nah, they just... You know, I don't know.
I guess, man. I had a bottom. I remember looking at, I was about 38 was the last time I think I went in. And I remember looking at guys around 40 or 50 and thinking, if I'm coming in at that age, I'll kill myself, man.
Fucking right. Straight up.
No shit.
Yeah.
Thank God, touch wood.
Never
been in again, man.
Yeah, dude. Fucking is, do you?
So, yeah, I mean, I kicked FMC off, as you know.
Yeah.
2017-18 with gunshot.
Yeah.
And that was going ace. That was going unreal.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
Shit happened.
Yeah. The politics. Politics of the business, mate. Politics of the business.
Guys, it's some bullshit.
What are some of your favorite memories of graffiti through that era? Like, you would have seen a lot of it. You know, you mentioned before you were painting, what, you know, you were bombing when the fucking puzzles and all that were running supreme tame. Okay, fucking,
I've got an answer for that for sure.
Yeah, some of the favorites. Like, what did you see back then that was just like, what the fuck?
What was unreal to me was I was mates with Mist. Mist lived real close to me when I lived in Dandenong North. So I would ride my pushy down to his joint.
Yeah.
His old man would be getting ready for work. He'd go out the back, chop his tree, come in, we'd put that in a toast to have a mum, air markers, you know, fill them up, and then we'd go out and hit the loops the peak hour loops, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he introduced me to some of Melbourne's graff gods, you know what I mean? Like, I was an absolute toy, bro. Like, you know what I mean? I'm meeting Prime, Yuri, and Tame, and bloody... Disguise and all these kings, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like, who's this guy? You know, it's Mist as well, you know, Plot, all them dudes.
Right.
Just sick.
Yeah.
So I got to meet Mist is, and Armed. Arms, they're probably my two biggest influences from my, around my way.
Yeah.
Mist and Armed.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It was just in my era, was he knew everything about trains and everything about everything.
How was it meeting Tame? Because when we had Tame on the podcast, fuck, I'd love to get fucking disguised. No one can hunt him down, man. Apparently, no one knows where he's at or whatever.
I seen him last year.
Yeah, so he's still floating around somewhere.
He's working. He's
life's treating him well.
He doesn't drink anymore. Hasn't drank for many years, probably over a decade. Well, decades.
Yeah. Oh well, fuck. If anyone's listening and can fucking, I've put it out there before. I've said it 100 times trying to get disguised on. But
He came around to my house.
Oh really?
Yeah. I got photos with him. Pesky brought him around and
sick.
He still sees Pesky, but he doesn't associate with many people.
Yeah, no, just keeps himself and shit.
He's really fucking.
But I remember meeting him once. I mean, we had a few dealings with him back in the day, and I remember Proof had a couple of dealings. Well, he was always a fucking nice dude and stuff, you know. Like, what about his drink? Enjoyed a drink. And actually, the first time I ever met him, we enjoyed a drink. I remember Oath introduced me to him, but you know, I was just a fucking kid, you know. I remember he had a big beard and fucking. Fucking like 3 puffer vests on and a fucking hoodie and shit like that. Meeting Disguise, man. That's a memory, you know.
He was a cool dude.
But I actually fucking going back to what I was saying. But going back to what I was saying, fucking Tame. Like, I remember when I had Tame on the podcast and then talking to him in lead up, he was just so like just unassuming. I was just like, wow, man, this dude is just so fucking nice. So just the most lovely fucking person, man.
Probably
like,
didn't remember me back then. You know,
I wonder if he remembers even doing this podcast. I was going to text him like when I was coming down. I was thinking, maybe I should try and get fucking Tame.
I bumped into him like maybe 6 months ago. I was with Carmen.
He just seems so nice.
We're at Revolver and we all passed and oh my. I gave him Mist's phone number and they connected and so it was awesome. I'd love to see them get out. I'd love to see old Tame and Mist and all that. I'd love to see Disguise.
Yeah. Growing up in that era of Melbourne, man, that's a fucking, you know, it's something to have witnessed, dude. Even like the Parises and Perils and shit, like you look at those fucking, like just the use of colour and shit, bro, like it was just happening here, hey.
They're amazing.
You know, like, and to be of that age where you witnessed it, where you saw it, where you watched it happening, you know, fucking unbelievable.
Ransom, all them dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
Some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Puzzle was just bringing out some stuff. Prono.
Yeah.
Sick, crew, everyone. Crews, there was just so many good writers back then.
Who was the most prominent FMC writer? Like carrying it through the fucking years.
Oh.
Or was it just sort of being handed down?
I'm not sure. I guess, as I said, the guys that started it left in probably 89, 90. Not left, but the originals, Ink stayed, Ash stayed, Hayes stayed, but Beware and Esky and Dyer, they all sort of, moved away from it. And me, Croc, and there was a few others that took it to a sort of a different level.
Yeah.
We'd do panels, we'd bomb sick, but we were just mad creams, man.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
We were really cool.
Well, you're good at it, you know, that's what you did through that period. Or as good at that gets.
It was, you looking back, you know, it's like, wow, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah. What's the fucking plans for the future, Bracer? You know, how are you looking at, like, you know, hitting 50, that's got to be one of those numbers where you go, okay, the next one's fucking 60. Where do I want to be? How do I want that to look? Jake, I would imagine you would be looking at that now going, how do I want 60 to look now?
You know, the way of the world, like...
makes you wonder if we'll all even fucking be here by then. Do we have another 10 years left on this fucking planet, man? This third rock from the sun?
It's, I think everyone is starting, their consciousness is starting to rise, and people are starting to vibrate at a higher level, aren't so easily duped. And are starting to see what's really happening with our governments and with the systems that have, you know, made us. The Rothschilds have taken over the medical, the educational, everything. You know what I mean? They changed the frequency to 440 instead of 432.
Mm.
440 is meant to be, it's just a little bit out. It's not. Not right. 432, if you see it in cymatics, it's a beautiful pattern. Have you ever seen cymatics?
No. I don't even know what it's that. Frequencies. That's fucking, that's new to me. Yeah.
It's frequencies that show you patterns. It's unbelievable. But if they show you cancerous patterns, you should see the patterns. It looks warped and not right. It looks completely out. Disgusting, actually. Like, and then you see love.
Yeah.
Which is I think it's 528 is the frequency, and it makes the most beautiful pattern.
Wow,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Cymatics. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't know much.
So that's the little stuff I've been.
But this is But this is like
there's been.
There's a higher knowledge to
looking
be
into myself, looking into my consciousness.
Yeah.
And
have you maintained your fitness? You were always a fit dude, man. You're always in the gym and all that sort of shit.
I've lost a bit now. I'm getting old. I still do my push-ups.
You're still into it?
Arm curls and stuff. Yeah. But I never got vax, so...
Yep.
I still worry, though, about my cardiovascular and stuff. I smoke medical weed. That's all I do these days.
That's fucking good,
but I train
good,
still, yeah. I definitely... Still trying maybe 3 days a week.
Yeah. Because I thought you looked fit, man.
I rode my bike here.
Exactly. Exactly.
I caught a train to Richmond and then rode from Richmond.
Just
a good ride. Lovely.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah. Just fucking even going back to that, like, that's what I think, man. Like, what are we looking at for the next fucking 10 years?
I don't know, mate. It's scary. To me, it's scary, this WEF. Not many people even know about it.
Yeah.
It's Klaus Schwab.
Yeah.
Thinks that we'll all be happy in these 15-minute cities and these we'll be happy with 2-3 pieces of clothing and no money, and they control everything.
You'll own nothing and be happy.
You'll own nothing and be happy. And they say, you know, if you're not rich, you can give your travel away to the richer people.
Yeah.
They can buy it off.
Oh, that's right. It's not right. Fucking just, this shit, eh? Who the fuck knows, eh? But then again, you know, you live through the fucking, you never thought, like, what you guys live through with COVID and shit, you never thought that would fucking happen, you know? Like,
never thought that would happen. Who thought that Bitcoin would go up to $100,000 like it did during COVID?
And fucking plummet.
Jesus. Everything went up, and then went up down to 56,000, 58,000. But that's
so you're into the crypto now?
I'm into crypto now. Wow. I'm into, I've invested into marijuana companies.
Yeah, yeah. So the future is bright.
I hope so. No more crime, that's no more it, drugs, man. And yeah, it's about art to me. Dude. I love my art. I love graffiti. Always have
since
and,
forever.
I don't have a car at the moment. I told you what happened with my car.
Yeah.
When I was on it all, but I have my electric bike at the moment. But I'll get a car.
But you're out here, you're getting about, and you're fucking, you're living, mate. It's a fucking pleasure to see you, bro.
I can't believe it. I was so happy that you guys are down here.
Yeah, man.
The show tomorrow night.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Lazy will be down. He comes down tomorrow, Arvo. So,
oh, I thought Lazy was going to be here today.
Nah. He's flying in tomorrow. He's flying for the show and fly out. We're here to do a bit of work. So, yeah. But, brother, it's been a fucking pleasure, mate. Like, fucking absolute awesome. Pleasure. Good to see you, brother. Happy 50th.
Thank you, mate.
And fuck, it's good to see you moving in a positive direction. And I think, you know, I'm fucking...
We have Graham now. Graham.
Exactly.
Have you seen his art?
I think Graham. So, yeah.
He's in KR and TRC and FNC.
Yeah, dude.
But, yeah, we lost Sham and a few others.
Yeah.
Over some bullshit, but it'll come out.
That's it, eh? That's it.
I got the blame for it.
Live and let live.
I got love for everyone. Yeah. I really do. Man.
Yeah.
I got no hate.
Yeah.
No, I really don't.
Yeah. It serves no purpose.
It does, you know. It makes you old and makes you sick, man.
Exactly, brother. And on that note, this has been Beers, Beats and the Biz for another week. Once again, brother. Absolute fucking pleasure, cunt. You're a mad cunt. Jeez, Bracer.
I love you, mate.